This is Greg Olson, and I'm thrilled to introduce my new podcast, TE1. TE1 will chronicle a 60-year evolution of the tight end position, from its origins as an obscure, overlooked blocking role to the versatile superstar position that it is today. I'll explore the evolution of the position through conversations with some of the all-time game-changing tight ends. And just like the incredible tight ends we sit down with on my new show, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. This truck is all about grit, strength, and dependability. The same attributes it takes to be a tight end.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Today's episode brought to you by DoorDash, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv, and BetOnline.ag. The offseason for the Bucks just started after their untimely exit from the playoffs at the hands of the Miami Heat, who have not even begun them. They don't even know who their opponent's going to be. But we already have some Bucks reports and news to talk about by we, of course, I mean myself, Ty Windisch, and my tremendously sound co-host, Rohan Kadi. You're very sound, Rohan. How's it going?
You know what? I'll take that. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. I'm doing as well as I can right now.
Yeah, considering the last thing you said to me before we started recording, and our first topic of the day is going to be a report from Shams Charania on Bucks current and maybe for a while still going to be current head coach Mike Budenholzer. The last thing you said was, do we really have to do this? Do we really have to talk about this? It seems like we do. So Shams reporting on the Bucks at large, a whole lot of stuff in here, including some Eric Bledsoe stuff. But here is the paragraph that is giving Bucks fans particular amounts of heartburn. Quote, as for coach Mike Budenholzer, he is safe, according to sources. That sentence alone kind of does it. This much is certain, though, across the Bucks leadership group, there's an understanding everyone must learn from this season and be better. They need to continue building a winning mentality, stocking the roster with key decision makers. Very interesting terminology for the second part of our podcast there. But so that news broke, and I think I had kind of sort of caution that this could happen. I don't think you wanted to hear it at the time. It looks like we might be here. How do you feel? Where are you at?
I'm not feeling that great after that report, considering after our last two pods that I've essentially come to terms with that I do not want Mike Budenholzer returning as the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, that I've firmly stated my belief in that. So this report was not really all that happy for me. Like I didn't feel good hearing it, considering that I do believe that a lot of, maybe not all of it, it's more of an organizational problem, but a lot of the issues that plagued Milwaukee in this Miami series was at the hands of Mike Budenholzer. So, you know, I'm not feeling that great after hearing that report.
Yeah, I'm not either. I still think the right move would be to move on, especially something I've heard very quietly in recent days is that potentially one of the reasons Ty Lue has not finalized with Philadelphia yet is partially attributed to the Clippers playoff run, partially attributed to maybe taking a glance over at Milwaukee and seeing what's happening. That's something that I've heard very faint rumblings of.
Ooh, I mentioned that on the last pod. I guess I'm not just saying things.
Oh yeah, I can very. I almost said scantily, but that's not the word. I'm not scantily anything right now. But I can faintly suggest that you might have been onto something there. Also heard some Bucks things. So from what I've been told, what I've heard, and what I've read, a combination of things. I don't think right now they're looking to replace Bud. I think the thought is, and this is stuff we've talked about and acknowledged, but The Bucks lose their home court advantage that would have been big throughout the playoffs. Obviously, the bubble impacted teams in strange and mysterious ways. A lot of extenuating circumstances. Bud has done so much good in the regular season. All these things. I don't know. I feel like we've pretty much categorically, gone through all of those things and kind of dismissed them as being less important than the obvious playoff shortcomings that I don't think are solely or even mostly because of the strange situation the Bucks found themselves in. I just think that's the way he coaches. And if you want more evidence, go watch the 2019 Eastern Conference Finals. We did, and we broke it down and binged the Bucks.
Every time, it always comes back.
It's our ghost. And maybe the next time, we'll do another binge the Bucks someday. The next one will only be 10 episodes long, but it'll be equally distressing. Not for years, Rohan. Not for many, many years. But yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm feeling out. That's what I've been told. I don't think 100% he comes back is what I'm... I think everyone's a little bit on the hot seat. I think a lot of things are going to be considered.
So, like, but if a Ty Lue candidate comes around, you're like, oh...
I don't know. I don't even know if it's that. I think it's almost going to be... I don't know what it would take at this point. It might take Giannis, and this is something a lot of people have speculated. Giannis should weigh in and say something. That would be out of character for him, but I think so was all the times that he basically... kind of slightly nudged Bud under the bus at some of these press conferences. I mean, when he said the coach determines my minutes and the coach decides defense and all this, I think that was a little uncharacteristic of Giannis too. So I don't know. I think that dynamic is really interesting. But from what I can tell right now, I mean, I don't think anyone needed me to say it, but Sham's certainly correct in that it does not seem like there is an immediate push to replace Mike Budenholzer.
That's just, it's just disappointing to hear a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the word that just comes back to me every time I see these sort of things. It's just disappointing because what are we just going to do this year after year? For at least for 2 years, because I'm pretty sure he signed like, what, a 4-year contract?
Yeah, I do believe so.
So I guess next year, are we going to do this again? Because it might be the same result again for Mike Budenholzer. It's been the last, like, what, 7 years that he's been doing this?
So yeah.
What's one more, you know?
Two? I mean, looking at the way Giannis's contract shakes out, one more could be exceptionally pricey for the Bucks.
Oh, yeah, no, that was completely facetious.
No, I know. I know it was. I know it was, Rohan. You're sassy Rohan at it again. I agree that it's disappointing. I stand by... you know, what I've said on here, on Twitter, everywhere else, where it's like, you know, how, and I will say a lot of Bucks fans echoed this, a lot of Bucks fans. And all I did today was I saw the Athletic thing come out and it was in the headline of the tweet, or it was in the body of the tweet. The tweets don't have headlines. I promise I'm not that washed yet. But, and I just quote tweeted and just said, welp. And I got a fair number of responses of things akin to, they're going to call us frauds, and what are we going to say? And it sounds silly to be worried about, you know, what memes come out during the regular season. And I think to an extent, maybe it is silly. But I think what's not silly, it's not the fact that people will say it. It's the fact that deep down, I think it's really hard to shake the not even just feeling, but just like, it's going to feel true, right? Like, I think everyone's going to believe it.
We've seen this for 2 years now. We really have. It's just you get the regular season success and then you just falter out during the playoffs. Last year, you know, is the first real run, but it happened again. So now it's a pattern. if it starts to look like the same thing is happening next year, it's honestly the people saying that they're probably going to end up being right because they were this year.
Yeah, I was going to say they were right this year. Exactly. And I just think, I mean, listen, if he comes back, If Mike Budenholzer is the coach again, am I gonna swear off the Bucks forever and not watch? No. Am I gonna?
Because we're gonna host the Eurostep.
Exactly. Are we gonna be here every pod just screaming profanity about Bud every single pod? No. Probably only like 1 in 3 or 4 pods will do that. But I think it'll be hard to enjoy the regular season as much. I think absolutely, unless we get, you know, suckered in again. I think this is how I talk about Eric Bledsoe too. And I think this is a good segue because we got to get to the Bledsoe part of Shams's report. But it's like, you know, he'll trick me into trusting him again and then probably break my heart again. But we will definitely need to see
just
some going back to
that toxic ex, you know?
Exactly that. All your friends are like, I'm so glad you broke up with Coach Bud. And you're like, actually, I'm going
we
over there
we
later.
Had a lot of regular season success. You know, it might translate to the playoffs. They're
he
like,
DM'd
don't do
me.
It.
He
They're
DM'd
like, don't
me
do it.
On Snapchat. We have a lease together for 2 more years. I don't want to break it. It would just be a headache. Times are tough. I'm moving back in. That's the vibe. And that's where we're at. So we're just going to embrace the I almost said toxicity. That's a Pokemon. The toxicity. We're going to listen to a bunch of Future, even though we're probably on the wrong side of it. And that's where we're at. That's where I'm at. But no, we'll look for the same signs we look for this year. I really hope we see them a lot more. But I think, unless you have anything else to add on, Bud, the other reports that we've gotten so far about the Bucks are a bit more positive. But do you have any last Bud stuff?
Hopefully we don't have to see any more Bud faces. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I mean, again, if we see him back,
you know what Bud
Lord.
Face I do want to see? Is Mine. Yours. That was glorious. Yeah. I don't know if we talked about this in a pod, but that was glorious.
Yeah. I think we were busy last pod. Thank you. I wasn't disgusted enough. I was being coached. I was just laughing too hard.
Yeah, you looked like you were smiling a bit too much.
It was fun.
It was appreciated.
Yeah, well, I couldn't back down. But I don't know. We better see like some switching and some zone defenses and not just drop every single game. And we better see a lot more coherent offense. But what might help with coherent offense, this is something we did talk about last pod, but Mark Stein, the night of the Bucks loss. Yeah, was that only 2 days ago? Oh my goodness. Whatever. 2020 is nuts. But Mark Stein tweets, there are rival teams that believe Milwaukee will explore trading for Chris Paul, complicated as that would be financially. We'll get into that in 1 second. If Oklahoma City indeed makes CP3 available via trade, one more thing to track as the Bucks enter perhaps the most crucial offseason in team history. ... Mark Stein has to be one of the top NBA tweeters to use the ellipsis. Some would say overused. Who knows? But this
was
kind of...
People have said it's overused to the point that it's underused now. What? I don't know if that's a thing, but I just made it one.
Oh, that's a real internet saying right there. So to follow on Mark Stein's report, and this isn't necessarily directly linked, but I think they're worth mentioning together. This is the paragraph before the depressing Bud one from Shams's article. Quote, rival executives expect the Bucks to prioritize acquiring a playmaker and more shooting in the offseason to retool the roster around Antetokounmpo. Bucks guard Eric Bledsoe is under contract for multiple seasons and has had another standout season by earning all defensive team honors, but he is expected to become a potential trade candidate, sources tell The Athletic. So any Chris Paul trade pretty much...
That report's coming from the Bucks side.
Well, he said rival executive. It might be coming from the clutch side.
Yeah. Maybe, but the standout season, trying to boost the trade value a little bit.
Rich Paul feels one more contract in Eric.
And you know what? This is great. Like Rich Paul, by the way, incredible agent, best in the business. So
is he out of it now? Did he get promoted out? I don't think he reps players directly anymore.
Does he not? Oh yeah, he's the president of a different company now. They acquired
with
Clutch.
Yeah, like they merged. They do more than just players
now.
Yeah,
it was like entertainment too. Shout out Rich Paul, man. Incredible.
It's absolute. Like his story is inspiring. And if you think he just rode LeBron's coattails.
Nah, don't even say it. Don't even say it.
Or if Mav Carter did or any of these guys. No, these guys are tremendous. And I'm not just carrying water for them as a favor for them boosting Eric Bledsoe's trade value. Terrific.
They're actually incredible human beings.
Yeah, and agents inspiring. And businessmen and ruthless as well. Definitely ruthless, but I don't want to be here is what I will say when I see Bud on the sidelines again. No, maybe a little bit. First I want to talk about just in a vacuum before we get to CP3.
Okay.
Eric Bledsoe's trade value. So this is something I find interesting and probably more nuanced than people think. Just because the bad playoffs are on everyone's minds. I mean, you made fun of Shams for pointing out his nice season. Fair. But also, I mean, legitimately, literally an all-defensive guy on the second team a good point guard. I think he probably doesn't raise your ceiling a ton. Like, I don't think you're going to be a great team. I mean, well, the Bucks were a great team, but when they got to the postseason, Bledsoe was not helping with that. I do think he's a floor raiser. I do think there are some teams who, and I'll give examples after I let you talk. I think there's some teams who just want to be kind of respectable. Like, they don't want to be awful. I think especially
in these... we're thinking around the same lines here.
Okay, I'm glad. Okay. You know what? You just go. You just, like, you go right now.
Okay, so it's just Eric Bledsoe, he kind of fits the mold of, if we're talking trades, right? He kind of fits the mold of, like, I don't have anything specific for Eric Bledsoe right now in terms of just this, but if you want to go to, like, a Kings team, if you want to go to, like, a Wizards team, maybe not the Wizards, but just
no,
like
they have
any
enough guards, but yeah.
Just any team that feels like they should be better than they are, he will make them like a eighth seed, you know?
Yeah, and I think like if Kobe White wasn't in Chicago, I think that would be perfect. Like I'm just looking around
now,
who needs a defensive-minded point guard who doesn't always need to have the ball? Like, I know like Phoenix now has Rubio. Again, if Phoenix didn't, oh, I guess actually that doesn't work for a couple. I always forget. About the drama with Eric Bledsoe and the Phoenix Suns. So that doesn't work.
Yeah, but I doubt the Phoenix Suns would want Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe would want the Suns too.
Yeah, also that. So, but I do think there are teams that, you know, would look at Eric Bledsoe and not need like a ton of motivation to take on Eric Bledsoe. And
The Knicks
is actually, so the second part of this pod is we keep teasing. I have some CP3 trades drawn up, and what's fun about these is it's not just Bucks and Thunder. Three teamers, and I actually won four teamer. And usually these are ridiculous. Usually they are, but in this case, it actually makes a lot of sense because like it seems to me, and I don't even think if I have to couch it like that. Like the Thunder want to rebuild. The Thunder had their fun. They contended. Danilo Gallinari is a free agent. Chris Paul just gets more expensive from here. Steven Adams looks kind of banged up and it might be washed. They have a billion draft picks. They want to grab some more draft picks.
They chose not to renew a contract with Billy Donovan.
That was the big piece of evidence. And actually, it seems like he walked away
from
them.
Yeah, because I think who reported that he, I can't remember who reported that the Thunder offered him a contract and he didn't sign it.
Yeah, and strangely, just a 2-year one, so he wouldn't have been saddled to a rebuild for a long time, but I think he wants probably some more guaranteed money. But yeah, I think some very interesting Thunder possibilities. I don't think they want to take on a lot of long-term money, so like Bledsoe and some other guys, who, especially one guy who the Bucks would have to include, are owed money after next season, but this is where I think you can work the multiple teams in. So I'll get to these in 1 second. Just as you listeners are counting on me to finally get to these damn trades that I've been talking about the whole show, you have counted on restaurants, and now they are counting on us. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. All you have to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local spots are still open for delivery too. Just open that DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be on the way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on the first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And tonight as we record, last night as you listen, the NFL is officially back, which means Sundays are coming back and are actually here in the NFL. With NFLSundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on all your favorite devices. Plus, Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels mean you will never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Now is a great time to take advantage of this offer because, like I said, football is not coming back. Football is back. So use promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code Blue Wire. Okay, Ed Reed's still fun. So, the basic trade for CP3 would not take us a lot of time to cover. It is CP3 to the Bucks, Eric Bledsoe, Ersan Ilyasova, George Hill, and some picks, most likely, to the Thunder. Like, it's very simple. That's... Oh, you have another one. Okay, what are you looking at?
Well,
are you mixing in Robin Lopez?
No, I don't know if you have to include really picks.
I think you do. I think CP3 has value. And I think so. Oh, actually, honestly, one thing I wanted to clear
before
up.
I even say that, just bravo, Sam Presti. Just you get assets to get Chris Paul, and then you're getting assets.
I think they'll get something.
Masterful.
It is masterful. I think they'll get something. And I'm a little worried Philly might get involved here. Philly has a lot more picks to trade than the Bucks do. Philly also can attach Matisse Thybulle, which I think they might, like Thybulle and Horford.
You think Philly's front office is capable of pulling this off?
I think Philly's front office will trade future assets for an old superstar who's overpaid, Rohan?
You know
really?
What? That's fair.
Yeah, I think they absolutely will. I'm worried they might overpay. I actually think the Bucks should probably strike while the iron's hot and get in on this thing. But I think you could take out George Hill and I think add in Robin Lopez and
Robin
DJ Wilson.
Robin Lopez has a player option, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's opting in. Personally, we'll see. We'll see what he does. I think he would opt in. We'll see. But yeah, so there's some options there. But I just think like George Hill has another partially guaranteed year after this year. Eric Bledsoe has a couple of years left. So I went and got a little funky with this thing, Rohan. So,
okay, how many trades do you have? Let me ask.
I think I have three.
Okay, I have two, so you go first.
Okay, I'll open with the least fun one. So, actually, no, I'll open with a different one, because I have to do some calcs to make sure that one works. So, here's my first fun one, and this is actually, I think you brought up this team already. The Bucks get Chris Paul. The Thunder get Ersan Ilyasova, George Hill, Wayne Ellington, and Elfrid Payton, and the Knicks get Eric Bledsoe. So,
okay.
why did the Thunder do this? Because... But next season, all these trades have to take place the next league year, so that everyone's contract is a year closer to being expired, etc., etc. So Wayne Ellington and Elfrid Payton are both due $8 million, which is slightly less than Bledsoe's $16.8 million. Obviously, combined they're $16 million, so they save a little bit of money that year. And both of them are expiring, so the Thunder essentially trade off all the. And I know it decreases. But they get rid of like a substantial amount of money down the line they would owe Bledsoe and really just take like two guys. I mean, you can play them. They're not terrible players. They're fine. They're not difference makers, but they're like vets to have around. They could probably dump one at the deadline. Like Wayne Ellington is always a guy somebody wants to trade a late first for. So I think they could, you know, make another move for
these
guys.
He's the new Jeff Green.
He is. I don't know if he's any good, but I think they'd
probably
get at
least a second.
Jeff Green's
actually pretty good now.
Yeah, right now. It's very specific moments of time.
I've
where
always
Jeff
believed in Jeff Green. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Continue.
You're an optimist. I also included a couple picks going to the Thunder. An extra second from the Knicks, just because like they get an all-defense point guard and they give up scraps. So I was like, they can throw in a second. And next year's first, probably with some protections from the Bucks to OKC, and the 2022 Indy second rounder. To OKC. So the Bucks give up the three guys I mentioned earlier, Bledsoe, Ersan, and George Hill, and also two picks, one first and one second. The Knicks get Bledsoe, and the Thunder basically get mostly expired contracts and three more picks to add to their big pile of picks.
Okay. I like it. Honestly, that does make a lot of sense. Just Eric Bledsoe on the Knicks just sounds like a match made in heaven. Because they desperately need a point guard, just any capable point guard.
Yeah.
And, like, Eric Bledsoe's a capable point guard.
He is, like, he'll get RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson involved. He'll play. They need defense, too. They're a really bad defensive team. And, listen, no playoffs to worry about.
Yeah. Just a fun
There's
regular
no collapse.
Season team. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't collapse if you're not there in the first place.
Exactly.
Galaxy brain.
Like, this is a win-win-win-win-win trade.
And you know what? I didn't even think. I just said the Knicks off the top of my head. But honestly, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I think from this deal, so Chris Paul is owed like $40 million the next 2 years. It's a little higher every year. So the Thunder go from having to pay Chris Paul in 2021-22, 40-some million dollars, to only owing part of George Hill's contract that year. And again, I think they could probably move. That's actually one of my other trades. I think it'd be very easy for them to move George Hill too. So maybe it doesn't even cost the picks that I have them have going there right now. Honestly, they get off a ton of guaranteed money here.
Yeah. Anytime you're trading Chris Paul, you get out of a ton of guaranteed money.
Yeah, but somehow they manage.
This one is amazing.
Sam Presti getting this many picks for taking at. Basically, he got a great year of Chris Paul, and he's going to pull in like a ton of picks to do it. It's phenomenal stuff.
He turned Serge Ibaka into Paul George. Like,
yeah. And then look at all the stuff he turned Paul George into. They're going to get somebody else. Like, they're aggressive.
Freaking Serge Ibaka, expiring Serge Ibaka.
Oh, the Magic.
Into Shea and all the picks.
The Magic should have been banned from the league. That was the worst trade. And I hated it at the time, and I still hate it.
You know what's funny? Just a quick little tidbit. I think Serge Ibaka bought a house during his time in Orlando.
What?
Like, why?
There's no way he thought he was going to stay there.
I think he did.
He left, though. They didn't offer him a deal, did they?
No, they traded him to the Raptors.
Did they? They did.
I don't know. I just.
Oh, yeah, no, you know, you're right. You're right. They got him at draft day, and then they traded him for Terrence Ross. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. The Magic turned Serge Ibaka into Terrence Ross.
No, they turned Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis into Terrence Ross.
Oh my god.
That's tough.
Oh, okay.
I want to let you do your trade. A quick Ersan thing. So many of you probably either misunderstand or don't remember a kind of rule clarification as it relates to non-guaranteed salaries and trades that I think I figure I got tripped up by it. I ran a Patreon that focused on this stuff for more than a year. So a lot of other people probably did too. So Ersan's next season, $7 million, is unguaranteed until some date. It's not that I didn't look it up. It's that all the dates in the NBA are moving right now. But so if he's traded while that year is unguaranteed, he counts as $0 in trades for salary matching. So they can't, like, OKC can't just waive him and get, like, complete relief from him this season. The Bucks can trade him. It's not illegal. But they need salaries to build up to a guy like Chris Paul in trades. So I very much expect the Bucks to guarantee the year of his deal, either by waiting until whatever deadline it is that it guarantees by, or I'm very positive teams and players can, like, work out agreements to do that. Like, I remember the Spurs very needlessly guaranteed part of LaMarcus Aldridge's deal early, and I was like, why? I don't understand why, but they did it. It's Spurs culture.
I feel like teams and players can negotiate more than we think, because just like you get these wild things like the Eric Bledsoe extension. Like, I didn't
see that. Time nobody expected.
Yeah, I was also like past the extension deadline somehow, but they like reworked the deal, and it was weird. But yeah, they can do more than you would think.
They can. They really can. So I think one way or another, though, they're going to guarantee Ersan's deal. But I've just seen some people, and myself, I did this for a little while, too, before I re-remembered. It's not like that. It's not an amazing trade chip. Like, it's not like they can't count him in there. Like, you use him to help get up to the
millions. It's not just a free $7 million.
No. Like, it's an expiring deal. It's fine. It's like the same as Wayne Ellington and Elfrid Payton. Like, he's an okay vet who you don't have to pay past this year.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You want to hear my first trade?
Yeah, let's get it.
So, this one's... I'm not sure how I feel about this one. I'm surprised I got the money to work, realistically. Also, just out of curiosity, what trade machine are you using?
Oh, it's got to be Trade NBA.
Okay, good.
Trade NBA is God mode.
Yeah. If any of you listeners out there are still using the ESPN trade machine, please don't. Please
Bucks.
Save yourself.
Yeah, it's so
just
I think they still
tradenba.com. Yeah, they have. It's just wild. Yeah, tradenba.com. You can include picks and everything. It's just it's beautiful. Just use that. We're not even sponsored yet by them.
Yet.
okay, so this one, you'll never guess. It has Chris Paul coming to the Bucks. And the Thunder are involved, obviously. And the Sacramento Kings are my third team.
Oh, you did. Okay, so you did a Kings thing. All right, yeah, I'm interested. I did.
So, going to the Kings is Eric Bledsoe and Ersan Ilyasova.
Ooh.
What you get for the Kings is you get another, like, you just get a floor raiser, like you're saying. You would have to work out some issues between, like, Bledsoe, Fox, but I don't know. You'll figure it out.
It's interesting. It's an interesting pairing.
I think you can figure it out. You're also the Kings, so, like, who knows?
Yeah, or they're going to have a new executive. Maybe they'll hire someone who's high on Bledsoe. Yeah.
Yeah, they might. And then going to the Thunder is George Hill, Bielitsa, Corey Joseph, and Buddy Hield, who is undoubtedly going to request a trade after being benched, and just he really wants out, I feel like.
So are the Kings I think have to be getting picks there.
Yes. Okay. I didn't figure that far ahead, but I would assume
honestly
Bucks picks that would go to the Thunder in any deal would just go to the Kings.
The Kings might even need a Thunder pick too. I don't know how they value Buddy, but probably highly. He's pretty good. That's a really interesting trade, I think. And also just generally on picks, like I include them on some of these, but it's such like guesswork. Like we don't know how individual players get valued. I think the salary frameworks are more interesting. That's an interesting trade. I don't hate it because like the Thunder, I could see them being like, we might have too many picks. Like we might actually have too many draft picks to use them all. So maybe they just want a player.
You also get someone else to build around. You know, I know he's like theoretically young, but you know, you get someone to like build around with Shea. You know, just another
that's
shooter
an interesting
with Shea.
Pairing. That's an interesting offensive pairing. I like that trade. It's a little bit more outside. Mine are more boring. Mine are very similar to each other. That's a more fun one.
I feel like the Kings would want to do something like this, but then I completely forgot that they're restructuring their front office.
They might still be bad, Rohan. They could still be very bad.
That's fair. Ownership usually dictates these things, so yeah. Who knows? Okay.
And this also, like, if Bogdan Bogdanovic
them, how much does this save them in cap going forward? It saves them $20 million, so they get space to sign Bogdanovic.
Okay. No, I think I like it. I forgot Corey Joseph's going to OKC. Yeah, I think I like it. I don't know how much it would take the Kings to do that, because I do think there's friction there. That's a fun one. I like that.
Yeah, I think the Thunder, they would probably end up buying out George Hill or something. Or trade him somewhere else.
So here, let me get to my next one.
Ooh.
So this is a very similar to the previous trade. So this is very similar to the first one. It's actually, even with the Knicks involvement. So Chris Paul is still going to the Bucks. The Bucks are not going to get much more than Chris Paul in any of these just because he just makes so much, just dollars wise.
$41 million.
Yeah, it's really hard to figure out. So the Thunder end up with, you know, a couple picks, whatever. Ellington, Payton, Ilyasova. They also end up with Rodney McGruder, and I'm going to mispronounce this, but Mfundu Cabangele.
I think that's right.
From the Clippers, hopefully. So the Clippers are involved. The Clippers trade those two guys who don't really play and maybe a pick, who knows. They pick up George Hill.
Okay.
So the Clippers, I mean, they've been like, Lou Williams has been playing well again for them at point, but I think Reggie Jackson is kind of out of the rotation now. I think they could use another table setter, another point guard who can move the ball around, who can shoot a bit. All they do is give up Rodney McGruder and Cabangele. Which those guys are very cheap the next few seasons. So I think the Thunder are just kind of like, we'll take two cheaper guys for one slightly more expensive guy. They save even more money. They drop their cap by $11 million in this deal.
Ooh.
The Bucks pick up almost $8 million. The Knicks pick up $875,000. And the Clippers pick up about $2 million. But again, they have a lot of other contract stuff to figure out. I mean, they have Montrezl Harrell and everything else. But this would be a fun way for them to add another solid piece in George Hill, another good complimentary piece. I don't think you can have enough shooters on that team, even if George Hill can be tentative to take them, but we don't have to tell the Clippers that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if the Clippers are really... That's interesting. It might be tough for them to, you know, try and help a contender.
Yeah, I suppose, but it's almost, you could actually, I mean, it could be two separate trades too.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's like this is absolutely not like it doesn't really impact the Bucks side of it at all. And this is true for a lot of these 3 and 4 teamers. Like
you can do them as separate deals.
Yeah, I mean, they might get processed or like reported as separate deals, and then eventually it's all one transaction. So really, like the Bucks and the Clippers here aren't negotiating.
Yeah,
the Bucks and the Thunder accept the framework of the deal, and then that's when Sam Presti can call around and go, "Hey, I don't really have a use for this guy. Like, do you want to flip me something and like salaries and something and take him off my hands?" So that's really my thought there.
Yeah. No. Now that you say it like that, I actually do kind of like that one. It's Chris Paul makes a lot of money.
He does. It is very difficult to add him to the Bucks framework where a decent amount of players also make a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know if we talked about this really.
Like, is it worth it?
Yeah, I think it is. It definitely is.
I do too.
At this point, it definitely is after we've seen what Chris Paul can do. You know, it's just he's had such like weird teams that he's been on. It's like in Lob City, everything's just weird with the Clippers. And then you go to play in with the Rockets, which is just always weird. And then you go to play with like, you know, like a normal franchise like the Thunder, and then you just excel. So
yeah,
I think this season more than any has really proven Chris Paul's value. I think he'd be a great fit for Milwaukee.
I do too. And I think I mentioned his name when I talked about guys who will kind of, you know, in MJ's word, get on your buns a little bit. And I think he's very much that. He's a perfectionist. You know, he knows good offense. That's for sure.
He's a shooter.
So very good regular season for Chris Paul. Here's the numbers that matter to me.
Okay.
7 games with OKC this year. Playoff averages 21.3 points, 7.4 rebounds.
Ooh.
Playoffs. That's the most he's ever gotten in a single playoffs. Chris Paul.
He is playing with Steven Adams.
He is, but still 7.4 rebounds.
I know that's wild. That's wild.
5.3 assists, 1.6 steals, 49% from the field, 37% from deep, which is good on 6 attempts per game.
It's not one of the worst of all time in the playoffs.
It's not.
And with here's Magic and Charles Barkley.
Here's the number I think is big for the Bucks. Just a hair under 10 two-pointers a game, he shot 56.5%. And he shot at least 51% on twos since the 14-15 season. But this is actually slightly worse than last year, although his three-point percentage was up. He can score from everywhere. He's a legit three-level scorer. The Bucks certainly need that. I think he's going to make life so much
playmaker.
Easier. Oh, I think that's putting
he's
it lightly.
He's the point god.
And, you know, my one concern is, are they a year too late? Because I think eventually we're going to see a downtick. But I don't know. I think you let him chill a bit in the regular season. I think he was like 17 points a game in the regular season. The Bucks are good at that. Let him chill a bit in the regular season. Let him save it up for the playoffs. I do think the one thing playing in your favor, two things. I mean, he's a consummate professional. Like I said, a perfectionist. He wants that ring too, man. He wants it as bad, probably worse than anybody. I mean, that's the missing piece for him.
There was also a report, I think it was from Ryan Russillo, so trust it as you will, before the season, before he got traded to the... Before he got traded to the Rockets.
Oh,
the Thunder, yeah, from the Rockets. that he wanted to play with Milwaukee?
Play with Giannis? I remember that now. Yeah.
So, like, there might already be a mutual interest there. And OKC has usually been, like, great with players. So they usually, you know, try to work things out to where, you know, people want to go. They treat their players very well there.
They do.
At least from what we've heard. Obviously, we don't know the inner workings of the OKC front office. But
we haven't what it played seems there. Like,
yeah. Yet.
Yes.
They might sign us next year, Ty.
if they're bottoming out. I would certainly sign for Venmo.
Sam,
I'll
if you're listening to this pod, you know, just give us a call. Slide in our DMs. You know?
Let us try out.
I'll be
tremendous
the new Chris
content.
Paul. You know? Sorry, Carlton.
I'm glad you never stopped shooting a shot, Rohan.
Hey, I'm 6'1". I can do it.
I am too.
So, like, yeah, we can both, like, sub in, sub out. We can both pretend to be Chris Paul. We look exactly the same. So,
We can
we can
be
both
a platoon.
Look like Chris Paul.
It's like baseball. We'll have a point guard platoon. We just play 24 minutes a night each.
Oh yeah, it's what the Bucks envisioned with the Lopez twins. Look how well that worked. Remember before the seasons, it's like, oh, we can go every minute of the floor with a Lopez twin on the court. And then it's like, man. Robin Lopez is inactive for most of the games.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, we're getting a little off track. I want to get to my second trade.
Yeah. Get to your second trade.
So this one is sort of like a deep cut. Not a deep cut, really. But just you gotta do it. So Chris Paul to the Bucks, Eric Bledsoe to the Pistons.
Oh, you took my trade.
Did I?
Yes, that's my last one.
Oh, dang it. And then Ersan George Hill and Tony Snell to the Thunder.
Oh, that's exactly my last trade. That is 100% the same as my last trade. You scooped me.
Oh, that's really funny. I just did it because Bucks graveyard. But actually, I think if the Pistons do, you know, if they don't end up like trading Blake or anything, which I don't think they will, you know, just load up. Why not? You know, you lost Reggie Jackson, so you bought him out. So.
I think especially it makes sense if they find either somehow maybe work him into this deal. Or in a separate deal if they send Derrick Rose somewhere. Because I do think that their inclination is to draft a point guard. And I don't know if you'd want Bledsoe, Rose, and Killian Hayes or whoever they draft. But I think like you can very easily talk yourself into rookie point guard learning defense and some other things and not playoff performance. From Eric Bledsoe. Like, I do think it makes sense
there. What do you mean, Ty? He's a pro. He had a standout season.
He did have a standout. Listen, all defense, second team. You can't take that away from the guy.
He was worse this season than the last season.
I agree. Wes Matthews should have gotten a vote for all defense. One vote. You folks remember my camp. If you don't, go back and listen to every pod we've ever done. But he should have gotten at least one vote.
He really should have.
But, but that was basically my, and you could work the George Hill to LAC thing into that trade too. I mean, there's a lot of ways the Thunder could go with their parts, but the basic framework I think is there. And I think you can switch out George Hill for Robin Lopez if he opts in and like DJ Wilson. I don't know. I don't care that much either way. I think there's going to be a good amount of churn anyway.
And a pick or something probably to the Thunder from the Bucks.
Oh, yeah, there's picks moving, I think, in these. I think Chris Paul is just good, and I think people somehow forgot that and got too shook by the contract, but it's totally worth it for the Bucks.
Myself included, honestly.
And myself included, too.
He's good.
Although, like, the whole Russ part of it, I was kind of like, wait, you're giving up picks to add Russ and lose that? Even then, I was like, I don't know about that one. But and Russ has not really proven himself right now in the – Rockets Lakers series, but that's not
which is about
to I don't
end.
Think yeah I think so too. Hey, maybe James Harden will be on the block, you never know.
Oh yeah, Tillman's got to make some money.
Got to make some money somewhere, man. The Bucks can do some cost saving. I don't think that's realistic.
No. God, can you imagine after all the jabs, all the back and forth, just if James Harden's on the Bucks with Giannis?
Oh, they still would probably lose in like the second or third round, unless Giannis got a lot better, because James is allergic to holding the ball in those clutch situations. Every time I watch the Rockets games, fourth quarter, James Harden is just like, who is slightly more open than me? I'm not. I don't want to do anything right now. It's tough. That's enough slander.
Recording this, the Rockets are down 19 points in the fourth quarter.
You know what's scary is Russ is actually probably going to be very available. Please, God, no.
Oh, God, no. Please.
It'd
no,
be
why'd
so
you
bad.
Even say that?
I cover the bases, man.
No. God, if they no, just no.
Oh, that's a good clip. That's a good clip of Noah's. I don't know. I'm just looking around right now at like who has that upper echelon potential as a ball handler who I think is really available.
Not Russ.
Like, I don't think Beal. I know not Russ, but I'm just thinking of anyone who's close. Sorry.
Man, if they swing and they swing for Russell Westbrook, I might be done, man. Like,
yeah, I'll pack Giannis's bags for him. Another name that's going to scare you that I think is a potential maybe is Terry Rozier.
Oh, God, please, no.
Who's actually like shot 40% from three this year.
Ty,
I don't think he's good enough. But.
Ty, Terry Rozier is not the answer to the Bucks' problems.
Listen, I didn't say you. I'm just looking at names. I'm just looking at names of overpaid guards who might be available.
Are you going to trade for Terry Rozier?
I think it'd be easy to get him.
Oh, no.
I don't think there's a ton of competition. Honestly, though, real talk, I think they'd have to sign him. I think he's expiring. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Terry?
No, not Terry. Terry's son. Dennis Schroeder might be just good.
Oh, yeah. He might be.
And people are going to, and you didn't, I'm glad. People are going to laugh at that, thinking of like Atlanta Schroeder. He was like legit very good this year. Like, I think he might be like a guy.
I think he was second place for sixth man of the year. Had a great case to win it.
I think I cast my fake vote for him. My number one fake vote for him. I think I put Montrez second. But I think he's just good. I don't think there's any way the Bucks will get him. Maybe a sign and trade. Who knows? But I think Chris Paul is the more exciting one. I think Chris Paul, probably you have a higher ceiling like this next season. The Schroeder thing is interesting. It's not a thing. It's not a rumor at all. It's just me spitballing. But that, I wouldn't hate it. People would definitely dunk on it. I wouldn't hate it at all. He showed some stuff this year.
I don't think he's a... I mean, he's good. I do agree. I don't think he's someone that really changes the outlook of the team.
I think he might. He might. Because, I mean, how long have we said, like, if Bledsoe just keeps up his regular season play, that changes the outlook?
That's fair. And that's fair.
Schroeder was better in the playoffs, but I do wonder if it's a contract year syndrome thing or if it's real. So, I thought he was expiring. I'll look it up now. But, yeah, that would be one where actually I was like, oh, you know what? I could get behind that. I think that's the kind of interesting buy-low move.
Do you remember when it was just, Jeff Teague or Dennis Schroeder? Which one?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
I forgot Jeff Teague.
Draft.
Still in the league.
I guess he's an option.
No.
I don't think anybody wants him. He's fine. He's a fine player. He makes way too much. He's not the answer. But he's a fine player.
Is he still on the Timberwolves?
Ooh, I'm usually good at these.
I don't know what team Jeff Teague is on. Or is he on the Grizzlies?
No, he ended up on the Hawks, didn't he?
He's back on the Hawks?
I thought the Hawks got him to back up Trey because they really needed him.
Hold
on.
Oh my God,
that's
he is.
What happened. Yeah, he's a Hawk. Schroeder. Oh no, Schroeder has 1 year left. So that, okay. You know what?
I'm sorry, $15 million is back on the Hawks? Sorry.
You're stuck on that. Schroeder makes about the same as Eric Bledsoe, a little bit less. You know what? That's not a bad backup plan if Philly gives up 19 picks for Chris Paul.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, you're talking me into it.
I wouldn't hate it. It's not as flashy. I don't know if I don't think you're as good this next year, but like I assume they'd probably re-sign him as part of this. You might be better 2 years from now. You might, I mean, you have he's a young-ish player. I mean, he's 26, so he's still got his prime coming up. I don't know. It's a gamble. It's a gamble because he's not obviously been nowhere near as consistently good as Chris Paul, but he was showed up big time in that playoff series.
Yeah, he did. Like you said, I still think Chris Paul is the better option, but you know, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
It's something there. I'm glad. I stoked a new thing. I cannot wait for this to spread like wildfire through Bucks Twitter. But honestly, I think this is a lot more feasible than Brad Beal. And I keep seeing the Brad Beal stuff.
I didn't even think about that.
I think at one point I said we'd do a Beal pod because I want to go through all the options. I just don't think he's an option.
He's not. He really isn't. It's just, I don't think Washington's going to trade him. And even if they do, I don't think Milwaukee has the assets to get the deal done.
Also correct. And one of the things I was talking to someone about this earlier. One of my fears with Philly getting involved, and I think that's been reported now. I think it has. One of my fears about Philly getting involved in the CP3 thing is even if they don't get him, if they dangle Tybalt, I'm worried that OKC would take that in negotiations with the Bucks and say, offer us your one young guy people care about. And the Bucks would be like, you can have DJ Wilson. And they'd say, no, no, no. You mean Dante. And I don't want to lose Dante. I think if you have to do it, I really worry about that.
If you have to do it, you got to do it. You can, if you have a competent front office, you can find guys.
Yeah, that's an if, but I don't know.
I said if, Ty.
they're competent, but they haven't done great with young guys. But yeah, I don't know. I think you probably just have to do it at this point, and I could totally see Philly gleefully, you know, driving up the price just to drive up the price. I'm a little nervous about how these negotiations are going to go. It'd be hilarious if like an hour after Philly swings an expensive Chris Paul trade, the Bucks swoop in with Schroeder, but I still wouldn't love it. I'd still rather have Chris Paul. But yeah, I guess, is there any other trade stuff or?
No, it's really funny we had the same last trade. This is not planned, people.
Just it had to be. Is that the one you teased me about before we started?
Yes.
It had to be Pistons. Yep. It had to be. I should have known right there what it was going to be.
That's it's so like good. Bucks graveyard, baby.
I thought we were doing Bucks East to be a little more generous, especially because we're trying to get them to take away Eric Bledsoe, but that's an option too.
I mean, let's be honest.
Okay, fair. You know, we can throw in DJ a year early. They can sign Sterling. They can really get it popping.
Yeah. I kind of want Sterling back.
I wouldn't hate it. I mean, it's like, use him somehow.
Yeah, just like, you know, maybe play him.
Yeah, I heard him.
You said heard him.
Heard, not hurt.
Okay, I was heard like, what? Him.
AKA play him in the herd. I hope that they clear out some of these end of the bench roster spots. Like, send DJ somewhere. Just like attach a second. The Bucks have a couple seconds.
Send that feels like, wrong.
It does, but like if you're never gonna use him, and I just don't think they are. And maybe they are. If you're gonna use him. But if you're not, like, clear out the roster spot. Sign some 20-year-old undrafted players. Dude.
Just like, yeah. Just get some people.
Take a shot. Take two swings at two undrafted guys with spots 14 and 15 or 13 and 14 with our guy Tanasis hanging around. But like, try to come up with a young cost-controlled rotation player, please.
It feels like every other team in the league can do it.
Yeah, and it's not true, but a lot. The sustainably good ones can. That's what really matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
True. We have one more thing.
We do.
I didn't tell him how we were going to do this, but you did. We have to just take a moment to someone who I think both of us can call a mentor.
We can.
And Adam McGee, at Adam McGee 11, announced yesterday. Oh my God, 2020, what the hell? Some news after 6 seasons as site expert at Behind the Buck Pass and 7 years since I started writing about the NBA more generally. I'm finishing up at the end of this month. It's a decision that's been coming for a while, but now is absolutely the right move. And I just think this hit me like a ton of bricks when I found out, just because for anyone who doesn't know, and why would you? I mean, we're just two guys talking about the Bucks. I don't think our whole biographies are usually needed, but both of us, I think you as well, but I got my start writing any basketball whatsoever at Behind the Buck Pass. You also did. Learning from Adam, and I shared some thoughts on Twitter myself, but I mean, he always went above and beyond, and you know, people who run these blogs, whatever network it is, it's just not common. I think I have still, and this wasn't the only one, but I have like a 1500 or 1700 word feedback email all about an article I wrote about Zaza Pachulia, Miles Plumlee, and John Henson. Like, nobody takes the time to weigh in or care that much. I mean, some people don't even take the time to read the articles that thoroughly, but Adam would pore over it and really work with you. The Win in 6 pod, which I'm delighted to say he's going to continue hosting. That's going to keep going on.
That was the greatest news.
That was such an upturn at the end. But I'm glad that keeps going. But that was my first podcasting reps ever, was on that podcast.
Same.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think I don't want to speak for us both. I never do. But as you still deal with Cricket Gate.
I can't find this cricket.
I refuse to cut it out. There would be no Eurostep though without Adam McGee and Behind the Buck Pass and Win in 6. There would be no Ty Windish media guy, big time Ty, as Adam likes to say. So just nothing but respect to Adam. I'm glad he gets the time off he truly deserves. That's a grind like no other. And I'm really glad the pod is going to be around. I'm really sad I won't be able to read him anymore. But mostly I'm just thankful because, I mean, Bucks Twitter has been around for a long, long time with Brew Hoop and Frank Madden and all those guys. But Adam contributed in a much larger way than any one content creator can by enabling so many of the rest of us. And he deserves like all the congrats he's getting, even if it makes him a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, it's 100% deserved. I feel like he's not even getting enough credit for what he's done, especially
absolutely
like me personally, like you said, I got my start. I hate this cricket so much. I got my start in basketball media. I got my Ty Windish. Yeah, that's you. Hey. Adam's the one that got me to just go on Twitter to begin with.
Oh,
that's
wow.
not a joke. The first piece I wrote for Behind the Buck Pass, it's tweeted out with my name because I didn't have a Twitter yet.
Oh, that's legendary.
It's just, he got me started in the discourse. He got me started in just, you know, becoming a better writer. Because just like looking back, I was terrible, but he helped mold me. He helped me through it. Like you said, he goes above and beyond. He actually cares about people. It's just, he forged great relationships. He always wanted everyone to have the best when he was working with them. It was a great relationship. And it's just, I'm just thankful for him. Because like you said, there would be no Eurostep like right now, because I wouldn't be here. I don't even know if I'd be on Twitter if it wasn't for Adam.
Oh, what a loss that would be. Imagine no LeVar on Bucks Twitter. Oh,
honestly,
my goodness.
It's all thanks to Adam. It's all thanks to Adam.
All the content Adam's responsible for. But no, seriously, like I went from, you know, a guy, just like a student studying elementary education in college, to writing about Brandon Knight and the Bucks, to, you know, becoming a Bucks podcaster, to after working for a different NBA site, you know, joining Adam as site co-expert for a while before the tremendous Jordan Chesky stepped in. And, you know, in the early days when you and I started and when Adam first took over, I mean, nobody really read the site. We were happy to crack like 100 views.
It blew up.
It's huge. I think it's, I mean, no shots taken. I think it's number one, at least for me, in terms of, you know, places to find Bucks written content online.
Honestly where I started reading about Bucks content in general.
I mean, you're not alone. And I think the number goes up every year.
No, like without Behind the Buck Pass, like I don't know if I would actually be a Bucks fan.
Ooh, wow.
That's not a joke. And that's all, that's all because of Adam.
It is. And I think...
I hope we're making you uncomfortable, Adam.
We absolutely are. That's why we're still going. But I think one of the moments for me where it really hit what... And I say we, because I don't know, he would too. We all played... Every writer, everyone who wrote there ever played a role. But it's really... He built it. It's his thing. He took it over and it was doing nothing. And it went on to be, again, the premier source of written Bucks content. But... I knew, I really had felt that, you know, I knew he built it into something crazy when I went to my first ever Herd event and somebody, I kind of got in just like through knowing somebody, but somebody asked, because they could tell I was reporting on it, and somebody asked me like who I was with, and I said, well, I write for Behind the Buck Pass, and they're like, it was a Bucks, you know, a Bucks official, and they're like, oh, that, okay, yeah, we know about that site, and I was like, oh
that's
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, so they did then. They certainly still do. And again, this was unthinkable when we started, when Adam started, and he really built it. And I'm sure it'll carry on. I'm sure Jordan Chesky and whoever they find to try and fill Adam's massive Irish shoes will do a great job still. But we're all losing a bit with him stepping down.
Yeah, for sure. Jordan's incredible on his own. Honestly, like
yes.
Just some of the same stuff I'm saying about Adam. It applies to him too. He's amazing, and I'm glad he's still going to be there, keeping up what he's been doing. Because it's really like Adam's done a ton, but also just those two together are just phenomenal.
Jordan is like
just like just, if you listen to the Win in Six pod, you know those two are a perfect pair.
He is like the perfect like change up to the fastball that is Adam McGee. Like he always comes with like this angle that I would have never, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. This is not shots, but I'm always like, how the hell did he come up with this? And he's always been like, Jordan is always coming at things from this like angle that I'm just like, this is genius, but I never in a million years would have thought of this. So yeah, it's and I'm so, like we said a million times, super glad the pod is still around. The site's still in great hands, but yeah, we had to take a moment.
We will miss you on the Bucks written content and sort of general content sort of thing. We will miss you, Adam.
We will. And we need to do, we keep talking, we got to do the collab pod.
We really do.
That's going to happen. Honestly. That's going to happen. So probably, hopefully before this next season. We keep talking about it. Everybody's busy, but
it's the off season now.
We're going to figure it out. For a long time, folks.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, we said we were going to go 30 minutes with the 58-minute mark. we had to cover three big names, Mike Budenholzer, Chris Paul, and Adam McGee. We did so. I think I'm out of stuff now.
Yeah, I think I'm out of stuff too. I think I can't believe we're at the 58 minute mark.
Every time, man.
Every freaking time. Well, it was. Well, we definitely had to talk about Adam. It's completely deserved. So, but I think we've covered everything. Unless the cricket has something else it wants to say. I honestly cannot find this. I've torn this room apart. I cannot find the cricket. And you know what? It's just like I have to embrace it at this point. But if you are still listening, which I hope you all are, we'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. If you did enjoy this episode, please leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you're telling your friends and family about the show as well. Just anyone you know. Like you said, just spread, like you were saying, Ty, the word spreads, so help spread the word. Make sure you're checking out all of the content across the Blue Wire Blue Wire Podcast Network. Ty and I will be back with you eventually, probably soon.
You made it sound like it's going to be a year. We'll be back soon-ish.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just like usually at this point in the outro, I'm talking about the next game. So I just had to take a second there. We will be back with you with, you know, continued Bucks off-season content, Bucks trade content. How do we make this team better? Sort of thing. But you know, before I let you guys go completely, I want to talk to you guys about Bet Online. And like Ty said earlier, the wait is finally over. Football is back. You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.